Isn't this a sports show?
Papa, tell me about the radio days.
Oh, well, there were many, many struggles and many difficulties.
Almost entirely.
I remember hearing this one radio show where they did nothing but visual gags on an audio medium. The host did a whole segment with his nose taped to his forehead.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Papa, whatever happened to him?
Son, I don't think you're ready for that story. All I can tell you is don't do cocaine.
Too late, Papa. I learned it from watching you.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
You did this to me, Papa. I just wanted to be like you, Papa.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Some big news here for you today on a Thursday with a little Chiefs action. We got to talk about everything on another episode of AES yesterday. We got another episode tomorrow. That's all very exciting. And usually this show very heavily leans Chiefs. And you might think...
I think I know where you're going with this.
I actually meant to ask you if you did know. And I'm going to assume that you did know. This is not something that would have slipped under the radar for you, I don't believe, Rudy.
No. And if it's what I think it is, which I believe it is what I think it is, and I believe that I think... that you think that we're on the same page.
I also believe that we're on the same page. We have not discussed this particular part before today's show. That's Rudy Salazar. I'm Joshua Briscoe. And it's bittersweet, Rudy. It's bittersweet that this is a place that we are at today. Because, again, as this show very heavily leans Chiefs, whenever there's a chance to talk about Kansas City Chiefs football, we typically do that. Chiefs and nonsense are the two things that we will... We will defer to at all times until today. So I think that in a bold new direction, I think Almost Entirely Sports is your new home for all things Tampa Bay Bandits. Rudy?
Heck yeah.
Let's go! You may have missed
Tampa Bay vibes in this.
Huge.
On this show. Always has been.
Always have been. Yeah, this show is weirdly very Tampa Bay, and not just
the great island of Saint Petersburg before.
Is there two saints?
Wow,
I don't know why. That doesn't matter. I've enjoyed my time.
Petersburg.
The mini saints of Petersburg.
I believe that is what the town is named after.
It's also the sequel, not the sequel, but the trilogy.
Of Boondock Saints.
Oh.
That was straight to VHS.
I was
did not make it in theaters.
I could not place. I was going to say that I think that the mini Saints of St. Petersburg was what they called that the Sopranos prequel movie.
I think you're pretty close, weirdly enough.
I do too. I think we actually nailed it. But if you don't know, I mean, one thing that's been here, I'll tell you this. Here, some consistency for you if you're a listener right now in a trying time. As Rudy points out, this is a very Tampa Bay vibe show.
The mini saints of Newark.
Yeah, the mini saints of Petersburg.
Same thing.
It's the same exact movie with more Hawaiian shirts.
Yep. And older people. Much, much older people.
That's also true. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the actual St. Petersburg is like the fourth oldest person in St. Pete. My family moved down to the Tampa St. Pete area a few years back, visited several times now, yesterday I talked about St. Pete when we talked about the Salvador Dali Museum. I am generally speaking pro Tampa Bay. I was a lifelong RIP Tampa Bay Vipers fan in the first XFL.
Aaron Murray, legend.
I forgot that Aaron Murray was there.
Never forgot.
You would never.
I've been to Tampa Bay once. And I got to I did not go down there for this purpose. It just kind of worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see Salvador Perez's major league debut. Very cool moment.
He signed
a baseball. And then Jeff Francoeur immediately grabbed the baseball behind him and signed it. And so I threw it away.
That paid for your college. Oh, what?
It would have until Jeff Francoeur signed it.
And but then it paid for your college and your children's future college.
Not to get off on a tangent, but you want to talk about a debut. His first couple games were electric, and it was only topped by, I think it was the third game we were sitting like in the lower section because there's a lot of open seats at Tampa Bay games. Oh, also met Billy Butler's grandpa at this during the same trip.
And how is he?
He's lovely. He's a great man. Met his grandpa and his uncle. Family was great. Talked my dad talked to his uncle for quite a while. Lifelong friends.
This doesn't work if you don't if you haven't met Rudy's dad, but I feel like your dad could get along with any uncle.
Funny
any
thing
uncle
is,
in particular.
I don't know if I've actually even mentioned this also. On our flight back, we had a connecting flight in Charlotte, I believe.
Okay.
And you know who was on our flight from Charlotte to Kansas City?
Charlotte to Kansas City.
Sport Radio 810's own Tim Grunhard.
Oh, really?
First time I ever met Tim Grunhard was on a plane back to Kansas City in 2011.
Did you tell Tim that?
I don't think I've ever told Tim the story yet.
I think you should.
Probably at some point I should, yeah.
That would be pretty funny. Yeah. I'd like to hear that. Next crunch time, maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, though,
the Tampa Bay. We've not said the name.
Yes.
We're not going to say the name yet.
The most electric thing was I'm sitting in the lower row.
Oh, yeah, you have the rest of the story, too.
All of a sudden, something flies over me. I'm like, what? A kid. Literally, like, because there was
a kid flew over you?
There was, like, four rows of seats, and then there's, like, a pavilion almost, and a kid used this pavilion to sprint, leap over, like, four rows of seats onto the field. And then run.
It really was a kid leaping over you to run on the field?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's and that kid was a young Salvador Perez. And that's when you knew.
He was tackled very quickly. I have seen somebody jump on the field and get away when I was in Houston.
I don't think I've ever seen
this. So I definitely haven't told this story. We went down to Houston in like 2009.
Okay.
Watched the Royals play the Astros.
I love story time with Rudy.
Kid jumps on the field, right? He's running around. He jukes out multiple security guards. He then sprints to center field. This is when they had the hill at the very end of center field.
Sure.
Runs up the hill, jumps up on, uses that to get himself on top of the, the wall. The
yes.
Padding. He then is running across the wall over to left field where, you know, they have the weird left field porch. Being on top of the wall allows him to get close enough to jump up onto
the
railing.
He is, like, balance beaming the wall.
He is parkouring this whole way. He then pulls himself up in the left field, ledge, hangover, gets over that, and is just gone. Like, he is not caught. He gets on the field. He breaks multiple tackles. He then parkours his way out of the field in a way that no security guard can chase him.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He's in uncharted territory at that point.
He is in the clear. I just assume he immediately sprinted out of the stadium and just went about his merry life. You know what did not happen to him? Didn't get banned from the stadium.
At that point, I mean, if you can make the parkour exit and then disappear into a crowd or just leave?
Yeah.
They're not gonna. I mean, everyone's got cameras, but they're not.
Much.
You didn't go kick a guy.
They're not putting that much effort into identifying this man.
No.
The crowd cheered him. It was spectacular.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And then watch Mitch Meyer try to hit an infield, the park
name.
Home run.
Yeah.
I mean, thrown out of home. It was electric, though. Royals also got screwed by a bad call. Should have won the game. Ball went off that. Again, the weird left field ledge thing. Right? Ball went off the wall, and then the guy caught it.
Right.
But they called him out because they didn't see the ball hit the wall first. This is before instant replay. So we go back to the hotel. You see it all over SportsCenter. They got the wrong call. Royals lost. Ref screwed us.
And the Royals probably only would have lost like 102 games that year if it wasn't for that missed call.
Absolutely.
What year was it?
2008? Yeah, 2008. No, 2009. I think Greinke was still a Royal.
I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that was a good baseball team.
Well,
97 losses, not quite 100.
See? Not bad.
Trey Hillman. Getting
Trey
it done.
Hillman,
I have a Trey Hillman spring training autograph somewhere, I believe. Yeah.
He's a Yankees coach, I believe, right?
I have no idea.
He at least was a Yankees coach for a long time.
I was just thinking,
like a bench coach or something.
You could probably get Trey Hillman on the show, but now I'm not so sure. He might be too big for us.
I mean, he's a Japanese baseball league legend. I think he won a championship over there. And then the Royals hired him. And then his career took as a lot of careers do when you sign with the Royals, they don't go the way you want them to go.
Or, full circle, he joins the ranks of many coaches who rose to the top in Kansas City sports and then ultimately popped back up in an unexpected place. We're going back to Tampa.
We made it.
We did not have to backtrack. We just got to keep our momentum going in a circle from Trey Hillman to...
Trey Hillman's going to coach the Tampa Bay Rays because that's kind of a bad... Well, they're actually good, though.
They're good.
So that joke doesn't work.
I saw this tweet earlier today. It will change the course of almost entirely sports forever. And it damn near knocked me out of my chair. I got to tell you, I think it's perfect. From the new USFL, which you may have forgotten, I believe is starting...
I did.
In like...
I definitely did.
It can't be starting this year. It's got to be starting in 2023. They can't be hiring head coaches right now, right? Rudy, you look that up. There's a future third try at the XFL. That's later. This is the second attempt at the USFL.
April 2022.
So these head coaches have 3 months?
Yeah, that's all you need. You don't need much time.
Okay. And the Tampa Bay Bandits tweeted this out from at USFL Bandits, which is an account that I am following right now. Retweet to welcome the newest Bandit, head coach Todd Haley.
Claps all around.
God bless you, Tampa Bay Bandits.
Did you hear about who his OC is going to be?
No.
Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's available. I mean, hey, maybe if he wants to be his quarterback, he's got the free time.
I'll tell you what, I feel like there's a better chance of Matt Castle taking that job, and I don't think Matt Castle's taking that job either.
If you go to USFL2.com.
That's the URL?
Yes, because it's the USFL2, number two.
Is there a subtitle?
Nope.
USFL2 back and trying to be better this time?
But if you go to it, just the homepage, it's got a timer. We got 99 days, 3 hours, 46 minutes, and 5, 4, 3 seconds.
Wow, we have passed the 100-day mark.
Yeah.
We're so close. 100.
We're at the point now where they can start posting pictures every day. USFL, if you're listening, which I know you are, whoever your social media manager is, on all your platforms, today, whoever, you're the most famous number 99 in USFL history, you tweet that picture.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow, it's 98, then it's 97, so on and so forth. You understand the concept. You can write a check. I'll take your money. You're welcome for the consulting fees.
I got to tell you, the recent history of upstart football leagues, I'm not sure that check is eventually going to clear for you already, but I'd love to see them try. I think that you deserve that work. So the new USFL, we're going to come back around to Todd Haley in a second, but I do want to lay something out here. So the new USFL is it all old teams? It's not the full league. It's an 8-team league right now. And I was just trying to double check to make sure that I've got my facts right on this one.
It is 8. They only have 4 coaches. I've also found out that they are giving players and staff tuition-free, debt-free college degree program.
Yeah, which rules,
USFL,
actually.
I'm all in.
And you could make money because we didn't make up random dumb rules for literally no reason. Shout out to the USFL for this attempt here. There are a couple of these names that I did not recognize, but I believe now I'm like 7 of 8 confirmed here. Let's just check New Orleans. And we're good. There were 2 breakers. There was a New Orleans Breakers and the Portland Breakers back in the original run. So the 8 teams that are currently there are all resurrected and redesigned versions of the same teams that they were back in the 80s. New Jersey Generals, Michigan Panthers, Philadelphia Stars, Pittsburgh Maulers, Tampa Bay Bandits, New Orleans Breakers, Houston Gamblers, Birmingham Stallions. Now that's fun. There probably aren't a ton of fans in those markets that remember or loved their USFL counterparts, but here's the other thing. And this is something that we've been consistent on here on this program. Me and Rudy and the late Beards McFly, he's not actually, he's dead, but not actually dead. You can hear him on the Zone, but he's dead to us. Rest in peace. So, we would always pick our teams in these leagues. We did it for the Mexican Football League. We did it for the XFL. We've maybe done it for the XFL twice in some way. I'm not totally sure. We did it for the AAF. Forgot about them.
I forget who the Renegades, which league the Renegades ran, but Renegades for Life. Bob Stoops, baby.
I forgot
Landry
he
Jones
did that.
And Bob Stoops. I think that was the XFL.
I think you're right. I was a big Tampa Bay Vipers.
No.
Was that AAF?
Was XFL No, AAF was the I was an Atlanta Legend fan, I think.
Yeah, they had somebody because that was fun.
It was going to be Michael Vick was going to be the OC.
That, I almost said Michael Vick, but I was like, that can't be
that
right.
That fell through. But who their head coach was somebody big name as well, who I'm now forgetting. Was it Mark Trestman?
It might have been Mark Trestman. He definitely was a coach in one of these eventually.
It might have been Mark Trestman.
I was a big... That was the Atlanta Legends.
Yes.
That was in the AAF. So that's you and the AAF.
Aaron Murray was also on that team.
Totally.
I think
tracks.
Aaron Murray was both a legend and a Viper.
I'm excited to have a new color scheme because I was a diehard, lifelong Arizona Hotshots fan and a Tampa Bay Vipers fan. They're both green and yellow. And so the Tampa Bay Bandits, of course, a nice black, red, and silver color scheme. That's already in my wardrobe, so this is going to be easy for me. But usually what we've done is we've all picked different teams so we could have our feuds on the show as the season went on. And Rudy, without having talked to you about this before, just seeing your reaction to figuring out what I was going to open the show with here secretly today makes me think that maybe in an unprecedented move for almost entirely sports, maybe we just throw our entire support behind the Tampa Bay Bandits.
I mean, I need to know more about the teams, right? Like, who are they going to be? The other four coaches are going to be?
Sure.
Because here's the thing. Bob Stoops has got some free time. If all of a sudden Bob Stoops is in this league again.
Does Kevin Sumlin do anything for you?
Maybe. Not a ton, but it's close. It probably depends on who the quarterback of that team is.
So let me just read you the first few paragraphs of the ESPN story here. can I read the internet, in fact, Rudy? Because I just sort of scanned down a little farther, and there's just some really good stuff. The little snippet on Todd Haley is very good, and I just can't imagine anybody within the sound of our voices right now not wanting to hear me talk about the USFL and Todd Haley's place in it.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
The USFL on Thursday announced the hiring of its first four head coaches, Todd Haley, Kevin Sumlin, Mike Riley, and Bart Andrus, with play scheduled to start this spring. The league will have eight teams with 10-game regular season schedules running from April 16th through mid-June, it said. Quote, "Today is a monumental day for the new USFL as we hit the 100 days to kickoff mark," USFL President Brian Wood said in a statement. "To attract Mike Riley and Todd Haley, two former NFL head coaches." Mike Riley.
One of the first things I did too.
I mean, that was not a long stretch, right? For Mike Riley. Now, this does say he's the head coach and GM of this new team.
I would assume most of them probably are.
Well, I think you're probably right, but I had not had the thought of general manager Todd Haley.
Even better than head coach Todd Haley.
And now I'm even more stoked about this. He was the San Diego Chargers head coach from 1999 through 2001. He went from Oregon State to the Chargers.
Okay, yeah, I remember this
back
guy.
Back to Oregon State for 11 years?
Yep,
what?
I remember this guy now.
That's fun.
Yeah, I did not recognize the name until you said Oregon State, then it all clicked.
I think I vaguely recognized him from Nebraska, which is not all that long ago.
He was also in Nebraska, yes.
I had no idea that he was a Chargers head coach.
That's the thing. I have no recollection of him as the Chargers coach. I do remember him as a college coach, though, perfectly well. Got that figured out.
2000 Chargers had to be a... Because I was like, before it got fun, he was just pre-Marty.
Because LaDainian was like 2001? Maybe he was after 2000?
That's kind of what I'm
thinking, yeah. Like, it was probably right after Mike Riley.
I'm reading the internet now, reading the internet. Rudy, can you play a second version of reading the internet without stopping this version of it?
And now, Josh reads the internet.
In the 1998 season, the Chargers went 5-11. Rodney Harrison said, quote, "If I had to go through another year like that, I'd probably quit playing." That's all. For that one. Oh, that was Ryan Leaf.
Oh, boy.
That's a tough draw for old Mike Riley. Anywho. Hired North Turner as OC. Doug Flutie? Come on. Traded a first-round pick for the first overall selection in the 2001 draft to the Falcons in return for the first-round selection, fifth overall, and third-round selection in the same draft. They moved back from 1 to 5 for a third-round pick and didn't draft Michael Vick because of it.
Was that the LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yes.
Oof.
They went, boy, this show got weird today. Sorry. I mean, it's sports weird. It's fine.
I mean, LaDainian was fantastic. And I guess, like, you could say it ultimately leads to you drafting Philip Rivers. And so, like, maybe it worked out because you don't deal with the drama, I guess, that was Mike Vick. But, man, could you imagine, like, having being able to coach Mike Vick?
I am absolutely chucking a vaguely remembered memory of something here. But I feel like I heard something about, like, Vick and being in Atlanta, and where there's like, I don't know if he talked about this some, or he was like, if he would have ended up somewhere else, maybe he never would have ended up in the dogfighting or still in the dog. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you change anything, right? Like, in it's the whole butterfly effect. Like, who knows what
That's
happens
true.
From there, right?
Right.
If Michael Vick goes to San Diego, maybe he just quits playing football in 2 years because, you know, Rodney Harrison thought about doing the same thing.
Right. Football guy Rodney Harrison, who feels like someone who would yell at you for,
you know,
missing a game with an injury. I got to finish the UFL SFL story.
He had a whole rant the other night on who on when Chris Godwin got hurt. I forget who it was who hit Chris Godwin low. He kept going on and on and on about how you can't hit a player low, how it's a dirty play. You have to aim for their head. That's basically what he was like. Players want to be hit in their upper body. Hit a player in their upper body. You never hit a player. He would not drop it. It was the weirdest thing ever.
I've got to admit something also here. It didn't work out for them, but in the first 32 picks of this draft with the fifth over... Don't draft running back in the first round. We're all on the same page on this one. LaDainian Tomlinson worked out okay. Here's the real kicker. They went with the fifth pick and 32nd overall pick. The Chargers drafted LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees. And they never won bleep. Think about that. They drafted LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees like 27 picks apart, and they didn't win bleep!
It's one of the things, too. If Drew Brees never leaves San Diego, I don't know if he becomes a Hall of Famer. But that's mostly because, like, San Diego at that time was just a... They were not a great run... They were not a well-run organization.
I'd like to thank Todd Haley for getting us to the 2001 NFL draft, because...
Here's the Chiefs draft. Was that a Ryan Sims year? Feels like it was one of those defensive linemen that just never
sure
really
does, right?
Out.
They didn't have their first round pick at 12 overall.
Junior Siave.
They didn't have their second round pick either. Their first pick was Eric Downing in the third. And
I
then Marvin
him.
Minnis later, a couple picks later.
I also remember him.
Monty, is it Bizell? That's what it sounds like to me for some reason.
Bizell.
Derek, whoa, hey.
Monty Bizell.
Derek Blaylock at 150.
Yeah, I do remember Monty Bizell as well, the linebacker.
I'm sorry. I know that now this is getting to a point of like, how do these young kids not know why the Chiefs didn't have a first and second round pick in 2001?
Traded it for Priest.
Trent. This is not enough.
Pick for meal?
Information. I mean, their first pick was 75 overall. There's nothing on this page about why the what that ultimately cost. What am I missing here? Were they with the same team? Man, this is really not where I
so
thought.
So Kansas City traded that
They're both
pick.
Rams picks. They, were those for Trent Green?
That was for Trent Green. They traded a first and second for Trent Green and a fifth round pick.
Man, I would have gotten that. I would have taken the under on that. I mean, it worked out okay.
I just wouldn't have guessed the first and a second.
Yeah, right. Yeah, trade this pick along with a second round selection for Trent Green and a fifth. Was that a button bump, or was that the...
No, Beers just has the... For when he made this, just cut it off very suddenly.
Well, it's not like we hit the end of it every single time we use it.
Very true.
No, we do actually mostly get to the end of it. That's kind of bonkers. All right, so now we revisited Trent Green in the 2001 NFL draft.
Do you remember Billy Baber? Because the Chiefs drafted him in the fifth round.
Today is a monumental day for the new USFL as we hit the 100 days to kickoff mark.
Derek Blaylock was the pick that they got from St. Louis, so they got Trent Green and Derek Blaylock for a first and a second.
USFL President Brian Woods said in a statement, "To attract Mike Riley and Todd Haley, two former NFL head coaches, Bart Andrus, a former head coach in NFL Europe and CFL, plus an experienced college head coach in Kevin Sumlin to the USFL, speaks to the quality of the league we're building. They all share our belief in high-quality spring football, and we're honored to have them lead their respective teams this year. We can't wait to hit the field." End quote. Haley, a former NFL head coach with the Kansas City Chiefs, will coach the Tampa Bay Bandits. He went 19-26 with the Chiefs from 2009 to 2011. He since has served as offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns, where he was fired in 2018.
He did better with the Chiefs than I remember. At least record-wise.
When I knew that we needed the music, and it was not going to be for reading the entire football internet, which we've done, which is fine, it was because I wanted to make sure you got to hear the way that that little... It's oh, we attracted Todd Haley!
He
went 19-26. And
he was in a Super Bowl.
The
Cardinals. The Hall of Fame quarterback running his offense.
Hall of Fame.
How hard that is to be good.
Hall of Fame grocery shelf stalker.
Movie star.
Movie inspirational tale. Is it crazy if I've come legitimately full circle on Todd Haley? I guess not full circle, then a 180. Because he's done a 360 or back
That's
the same direction
genius.
You were originally. I was... messaging with one of our, actually the guest that we'll talk to in 30 minutes here on the show. Oh yeah, that's over the internet. I got so used to that being under the entire segment that it didn't even register anymore.
You just stopped hearing it.
Yeah, I really did.
By the way, the second round pick that the Chiefs gave up, Fred Smoot was the player drafted.
The name sounds very familiar.
He's a cornerback. I think he played with a variety of teams, but he was a pretty fast guy.
We end up doing the 2013 NFL draft every two or three months. But going to the 2001 NFL draft is a real change of form for us.
Damian Lewis was who the Rams drafted at 12. I do not remember that name, so I'm assuming he wasn't much. Could draft a Deuce there, though. Deuce McAllister.
I knew what you meant, but I was trying to come up with a pun for something about
could have had
the second
Santana
pick.
Moss, which would have been
that would have been fun.
That'd have been electric.
But to be fair,
who would have
who's throwing him that football?
Santana Moss.
If it's not Trent Green, is it Santana Moss?
We
might have thrown it to himself.
We probably would have by some crazy path ended up with Chad Pennington, and just history would have never have went wrong. Chad Pennington been just throwing dimes to Santana Moss.
I think we could have all found a place in our heart for Chad Pennington.
Oh, I think I've talked about this on the show. Madden 03, I think, I played with the Jets so much because of Chad Pennington and Santana Moss and Mark Sherbet and Anthony Becht and Curtis Martin. That was my team.
Tell me how you feel about this.
I think it was 03. Maybe 04, but I think it was 03.
Chad Pennington...
Really not that good, but I love that. I love that man.
I'm afraid that this is going to get me in trouble. Chad Pennington is the second Pokemon evolution of Damon between Damon Heward and Trent Green.
Yeah, no, that feels right.
Does that feel right?
He's better than Damon Heward that one year when Trent Green got hurt was electric.
I think what I'm doing
electric
there
might be a strong word, but it felt electric. But you are not wrong. You are not wrong.
The reason that I think I'm not wrong. Is big shoulder pads,
yep.
Floppy sleeves. I can't be wrong.
I think you're right. I Trent Green is clearly the Charizard of that.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
He's better than the three of them. It's not close. He's a fire-breathing dragon.
Sure.
Chad Pennington is probably the Char... Well, maybe he is actually the Charmander because he's the lovable guy. And then Damon Heward is the Charmeleon.
He's only ever around for a minute.
He's just around for a minute. He's wild and reckless, but it's fun.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Again, this is where just always using Charmander to Charizard is tough because it almost you favor the first evolution. We might need to go.
I think it fits pretty
good. We might need to go Weedle or Caterpie or I'm not sure. Because Trent Green is a beautiful butterfly of a quarterback. But he's not a fire-breathing dragon, right?
Man, did you see some of those passes he threw?
What's the Charmander line then? I love that we were getting very serious football, stupid nonsense, and Pokemon in segment one. Feels like we're really living up to what's on the label right now.
We're nailing it tonight.
And this has been almost entirely sports, just not the sports you expected.
If Patrick Todd Haley does this to us,
that's true, man. I really do. I really genuinely.
Todd Haley creates dysfunction everywhere he goes.
I hope
it's not our fault.
I hope he is like a offensive genius pigpen in Tampa Bay, where he is just surrounded by candy wrappers and sweaty hats, making funny faces for gifts. Do you think?
You saying pigpen, by the way, reminded me of Tyler Thigpen. I still stand by the fact that. Tyler Thigpen.
Modern NFL.
In today's NFL, would have been like the 16th best quarterback.
Do you think that Todd Haley, excuse me, head football coach Todd Haley, shaves the beard?
Oh. Maybe?
Think about it. You can be big bushy beard and a beanie if you're the offensive coordinator for the Browns, right? Or even for the Steelers. But if you're the head coach,
you are the head coach of the Bandits, though. You gotta look the part.
So maybe he just wears a bandana instead of wearing a mask on the sidelines. He's just wearing a full bandana and like a cowboy hat. Oh man,
I'd be all right with that.
If Todd Haley puts on a cowboy hat, the Tampa Bay Bandits are not only going to play for the USFL title, they're going to try to play for promotion into the NFL European soccer style because they're led by Todd Haley wearing a cowboy hat. That team will never lose.
We need that. We need a little promotion relegation with the USFL.
And Urban Meyer was just trying to get the Jags back to college, where he's more comfortable. You know, that was his plan.
He almost got there.
Todd Haley went 4-12, 10-6, and then 5-8 before getting fired.
I'll cherish those years.
I will, too.
They were fun. In a very sad kind of way, but boy. I've always said, if you're going to be bad, be entertainingly bad.
And that's what perfect for the USFL.
That is what those Chiefs did. The stories that you hear about that time.
I mentioned this to Jordan, like I think I was going to say earlier, and then got distracted again. Wow, it is 34 minutes after the hour. Todd Haley was not made. He was made for this. Todd Haley, NFL coach, didn't work. Todd Haley, NFL offensive coordinator, didn't work after it worked for that first beautiful lightning in a bottle. Todd Haley was meant to be the head coach of a spring football league. And I just hope that he is unabashedly Todd Haley.
Yeah.
Do some weird stuff, never run the ball, wear sweaty-looking hats, gross hats on the sideline.
To his credit, at some point Todd Haley realized, this is who I am, and this is just who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just kind of been the same guy for a while. I don't think the USFL 2 is changing Todd Haley.
No, nor should it. Which, by the way, I was about to say, it's, you know, look, we got, through a new lens, you got to give Todd Haley credit for going 7-8-1 with Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor went 1-1-1 in his three starts in Cleveland in 2018. But then I remember, as I see at the top of the Pro Football Reference page, head coach Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
Before he got fired and Greg Williams was made the interim, they won five out of their next eight games there.
Hugh Jackson keeps getting jobs, man.
But do you know who the offensive coordinator for that team was?
For
that Browns team in 2018. With the man that we're talking about.
I mean, it was Todd Haley, right?
And Freddie Kitchens.
Oh, and Freddie Kitchens. Oh,
and they had two offensive coordinators.
I forgot about Freddie Kitchens.
They had two offensive coordinators, and neither one of them got the promotion to interim head coach whenever Hugh got fired. They went to Greg Williams instead.
Freddie Kitchens, I believe, is at Alabama now.
That feels right. But that feels like it's most likely true for
any former
disgraced coach.
He was the head coach with the Browns for a year, right? Just like, I think he was just 1 year. Because they promoted him.
Yeah. So
they end up giving him the job because of the relationship. Like, the offense looked good at the end of that stretch. And
right.
It was like, hey, this is Baker's guy.
But there was, weird tension between him and Todd Haley, I think. Cause I don't even think Todd Haley was on the staff. He wasn't on the staff the next year.
No, he was not.
I'm starting to think the Browns might have some dysfunctional sort of issues. Anyway, this is a Tampa Bay Bandits radio show now. I am both ironically and unironically rooting for Todd Haley to succeed there.
Oh, good news. My Alabama connection, that's where he went to school. He is currently the senior offensive assistant and interim offensive coordinator with the New York Football Giants.
So he will be available again shortly, it seems.
Well, I mean, have you seen the way that offense performed last week? I would say he's coveted. Him and Joe Judge, man. Unstoppable force.
I just want to know the rosters of these teams. I just want to know who Todd Haley gets.
Whoever has the most Kentucky players is probably where I go.
I just hope Todd Haley just gets... What's Jamarcus Russell doing?
He was Alabama Mr. Football back in 1992. Freddie Kitchens.
Not Jamarcus Russell.
No. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, I'm sure, was Mr. Football somewhere, but...
Let me take a break on this. Who is the yeetingest quarterback who has recently been essentially run out of football? Ben Roethlisberger USFL retirement tour would be... Eventually, some quarterback is going to do that.
There is a Pittsburgh team, right? Or there's
yes.
a Pennsylvania team.
Yes, there's a Pittsburgh team.
Yes, he should go play for the Pittsburgh team in the USFL, too.
There
he should be the head coach / quarterback.
At some point, the Kurt Warner of the NFL is going to go have their resurgence at a USFL or XFL team, and I can't wait for that.
Whatever, I have my team picked out. Whoever Nathan Peterman's starting for, that's my team.
It's pretty good. I'll continue to think of who I want Todd Haley to be the coach of quarterback-wise in the USFL. Also pretty good.
He might be getting run out after this last week. He had negative 10 passing yards.
That's not the style that I want Todd Haley to have.
Got a long neck.
But I tell you what, man.
Todd Haley with a long neck quarterback.
Todd Haley does hate putting his own neck out there. If you had Mike Glennon, he'd have a little extra to spare.
Oh, I know. I know who the quarterback is. It's Lance Long.
I'd take 53 of that guy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beetlejuice, 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 Kaepernick, Kaepernick, Kaepernick.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Okay, Rudy. I see the suggestion here. Get Beetlejuice to play quarterback.
Yep. I would love to see Beetlejuice play quarterback.
Sorry for taking your joke from you there.
We are on the same page as the last few minutes.
I said, because I told Rudy during the break, you know what, I think I have somebody, but I think he's too good. And Rudy said...
Gardner Minshew.
I said, yep. He deserves to be the starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Bandits. Frankly, he deserves to be the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, the Gardner Minshew. And like, this is the problem, right? Gardner Minshew is probably good. There are probably at least five teams who Gardner Minshew should be the starting quarterback from.
Yes.
He's not really somebody you want starting for you. He's the perfect backup because he's good enough to start for teams. But he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. But Todd Haley deserves Gardner Minshew.
Absolutely.
Deserves him.
There are a couple other nominees I'd like to throw out here.
My pitch.
Okay.
You should be allowed to play both. Right.
I think you probably could.
Gardner should be allowed to. Because
he's a free agent, right?
But even if he's with a team, no team is signing Gardner Minshew with the thought of, hey, you're our guy for the next 10 years. You're our backup quarterback. You know what, Gardner, if you want to go start some games and have some fun this summer, go to Tampa Bay. Go have some fun with the Viper or with the Bandits. Play some quarterback. Then come back here and help, you know, Jalen learn the system.
I'm here for that. I would like to see that system come together.
Guys like Gardner, you know, who are fun and exciting, but clearly not they're not going to be starting in the NFL. So you're not super worried about their health.
It's a
should
tough...
be allowed to play in the USFL too.
Absolutely. I think they should be able to play in the USFL too.
What team is Jackson Mahomes going to start for?
Wow. He might be a Bandit. I could see Todd Haley just being like, if I would have had him, if I would have had Patrick Mahomes whenever I was in Kansas City, I'd be a superstar right now. Give it a shot.
If Jackson's only half as good as Patrick, he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world.
NFL is a USFL MVP. Iced Pyro on Twitch said Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Rudy and I agreed that's perfect. No notes. 10 out of 10 suggestion.
My only problem, I mentioned this, he had a hard time getting in the XFL. I think it might be past Johnny's time, right? Like, we might be, like, 2 years ago, Johnny's in the USFL, too. Might just be a little past.
I also agree with that, because here's the other thing. We got to try to get a nice, narrow range, because I don't know who P.J. Walker was before the XFL.
Yeah.
And so most of these teams are going to have quarterbacks that maybe you remember from college, which maybe that should be the game we're playing, is who just quarterbacks who
Skyler
were drafted
Thompson.
In the... I mean, yeah.
There's a local guy.
Yeah.
Probably should get a shot.
Send him to Tampa. But I do have a couple of names I'd like to float out here. Now, this guy is going to get another NFL opportunity first. I understand that. But I think that Todd Haley's Tampa Bay Bandits deserve Drew Lock. He's going to get another shot somewhere as a backup. He's too good. But I like the match a lot.
I have a guy who I think is close. I don't think he's going to be there yet. Here's the thing. He's going to get a shot this weekend to show if he can stick around in the NFL.
Okay.
A guy who I think is very close to USFL 2, Jake Fromm.
Ooh!
Georgia legend. Drafted in, like, the fourth round by the Bills. Bills cut him. Obviously, he had the whole, like, racist tweets and stuff.
Oh, that does. Yeah, you know, that is bad.
Not great.
No,
not
I did
great.
Forget about that.
And then, you know, he gets signed by the
Giants.
He
was the guy that tweeted the phrase elite white people, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that's just, that's not, that's a, we call that an off the field concern.
He basically got signed by the Giants to give them he got signed by the Giants like the week that they were playing the Bills, I believe, to give them like the Bills playbook. And he stuck around to his credit because Daniel Jones then got hurt. Mike Glennon's out. It's Jake Fromm time. If it's worse than what Mike Glennon looked, Mike Glennon technically threw for like 24 passing yards, but he was also sacked for like a loss of like 34 yards, I think is what it was. It's like the first time since like 1992 that a team had negative passing yards in a game, which is rough. Good to know that the Giants are going to stick with that and bring back Joe Judge next year.
Simply can't.
They've announced it. Maybe you don't announce that before your team goes out and throws for negative centers. Anyways, point being, I think Jake Fromm could be in the USFL 2 this summer. He certainly here's the thing. If the USFL 2 was coming in 2023,
it's Jake Fromm 100% for sure.
In that league. He might be around in the NFL for one more year. Maybe one more.
I wish he was still a Bill. Okay, I've got it. Sorry, it took me a really long time. But if you get your plan week 18 of your fantasy leagues this week, I would say start Kyle Rudolph because Jake Fromm's going to be targeting him all day long at an elite pace.
That's because Kyle Rudolph's white, if people...
Yeah, that is what I was getting at there, is that Jake Fromm would disproportionately throw to Kyle Rudolph because he's white.
Here's a little plot
twist. Thank you for explaining that joke, Rudy.
Player who's definitely good enough to be in the NFL. He's a current chief. But maybe he's just like, you know what? I haven't thrown a ball around in a while. Maybe Blake Bell wants to go play quarterback.
Wow! Again.
What if?
How about this? Tell me if this sounds totally, totally drunk or not. If... It can't be for Todd Haley's team. But let's say... By the way, the USFL is totally waiting for coaches to get fired. I just realized that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
for sure.
If Matt Nagy goes and gets a USFL head coaching job, hear me out. Does Andy Reid say, hey, Shane Buechele, why don't you go ahead and go get some reps?
Go play with my man Nags.
Go play with my man Nags, as I call him. I mean, I think that it would all be during, like, real legit offseason stuff. I don't – maybe there you would miss, like, rookie mini camps, which I think he would probably still be eligible for as a young quarterback. But that's kind of interesting. If you have a third-string quarterback, Chad Henne's not going to take a USFL paycheck. No chance.
Yeah.
But if you're the Chiefs and you say, hey, Shane Buechele, I got a coach down there, even if it's just the OC or a quarterback's coach that Andy Reid knows, you know? So you know what? Or Eric Bieniemy knows or whoever. Why don't you go play some USFL football? get some reps out there and bring that experience back. I wonder if any team would consider that. That's a question that I don't think I could ask Andy Reid before a playoff game.
Yeah.
But that I should remember to bring up.
So my guess would be is probably no, but this is the thing that honestly needs to happen, and it makes sense for both. The reason why a spring football league really hasn't worked is because of the to make a spring football league work, they need to team up with the NFL. And if I'm the NFL, this is exactly the thing I would be thinking of. Because, like,
yes.
Again, there are 95% of your roster you probably do not want anywhere near a spring football league.
Totally.
But again, like, this is where it actually does make sense is for a guy like Shane Buechele, who is not playing football, who is not getting any reps. And it's not that the Chiefs necessarily think Shane Buechele is a next future star quarterback.
But could he be your next Chad Henne?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need him around in April.
And
you don't really need him around in May. And if it's simply because you just want somebody to throw a football to guys at a rookie minicamp, you can find that guy. There's literally Andy Reid has probably got, or Brett Veach has literally got like a little Rolodex.
Yes.
Like 100 of those.
A paper one. Yes.
Of 100 of guys who can throw balls to receivers in a rookie minicamp.
Now, these guys don't need it because they've made that step. But if you were Jody Fortson and Derek Gore going to a spring football league, and now it might be Reese Fountain, you know, or Maurice French.
A chance just to get some reps.
And
play some football.
Wouldn't you like to see decent tape on those guys were the scouting? If you're Brett Veach or the scouting department, you kind of might.
And if you're the player, you would. In theory, you would sign up, or maybe you don't want to risk the injury. And if you don't want to, that's totally fine. But also, it is a chance to put not just tape out for the Chiefs and show the Chiefs what you can do, but show 31 other NFL teams. Hey, this is what I can do.
I am genuinely. I'm guessing
this is the reality. This is what really does need. And honestly, I think it is the next step for the NFL. Every league has this right of essentially a minor league.
Yeah.
The next step for the NFL is some sort of, you know, again, minor league affiliation of some sort, right? And that just might simply be a spring football league.
It could be 8 teams or 16 teams. You can split up who gets what and who sends who, and all of. There are ways you can make that work.
For
teams
sure.
do it in other leagues all the time. Brett Veach, not only do I know that you're a loyal listener of this show, I actually think you might be on, maybe you're a Twitch viewer. It's hard to say. And I'm sure.
Almoster? What would you call our fans?
And we've had this conversation at some point because the answer is dangerous. It's an AES hole.
Ah, yes. Veach is definitely an AES hole.
You've got to be so careful. You've got to really hit every
AES
is short for Almost Entirely Sports, and that is how we view all of our beloved listeners. AES holds. But if Brett, if you could just, we're a first name basis. If you could just text me what you think about this idea, I'd be genuinely interested to know. I don't have his phone number, but I'm sure that he has someone's that has mine. You know.
I mean,
someone set that up for me.
Google the station, you know, you call up the back.
Just call it. Just call in.
Call in.
We'll open the phones, but only if you're Brett Veach next. 913. No, don't call in. Here's my last name for you. Here's why I actually think might be at that precipice, but has a chance to get back to the NFL world. Josh Rosen needs to put some film out there.
Yes. Josh Rosen's a good one for this.
And I think, you know what? Been in Tampa Bay at some point recently. Currently a Falcon, apparently. I just double-checked that.
Yeah. We don't have enough time, but the Falcons had a whole weird thing with him.
As have 14 different
teams.
The
Falcons had like 3 quarterbacks throw an interception in one game. It was Matt Ryan, Josh Rosen, Felipe Franks. Who should also be in the USFL.
Yes! All right, so just send the Falcons. Just keep Matt Ryan and Kyle Pitts away from there. Send the rest of the Falcons, and we'll talk about more professional football, maybe a little USFL with Jordan Foote of Arrowhead Report next.